This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and it's Thursday, and that's the day we read from your emails. We received a lot of mail about Daniel Schorr's commentary about the military's restrictions on publishing photos of flag-draped coffins returning from Iraq. The piece raised suspicions about the Bush administration's motives in keeping such photographs under wraps. It suggested political concerns and a desire to avoid drawing attention to mounting casualties might have played a role. Well, listener Edward Carlstead of Denver, Colorado, says that's ludicrous. He argues that there's no shortage of media coverage of American casualties. And besides, he writes, as the son of a military officer, I can tell you that the military follows special traditions and procedures when handling soldiers killed in combat. These are private military ceremonies that allow those in uniform to pay their unique respects and tributes to their fallen comrades. But many listeners agreed with Dan Schorr that viewing photos of the return of those who've given their lives is appropriate. Tom Mangione of Waukesha, Wisconsin, writes that when I see the flag-draped coffin of a soldier who has made the ultimate sacrifice for his country, a feeling of patriotism wells up inside of me and brings tears to my eyes. I believe we should honor those men and women, remember them, respect them. Response to a story about a Lone Star State replica of China's Forbidden City reminds us to be careful when we mess with Texas. The Forbidden Gardens are in Katy, Texas, a suburb of Houston. And listener Mark Hay is from Katy, and he writes that the reporter's parting comment that the gardens provide a release from the usual Texas fare of rodeos and barbecue couldn't have been more misinformed. Journalists continue to misrepresent Houston, he writes, which is one of the most culturally diverse cities in the United States. And a correction is in order from that story's historical details. We stated incorrectly that China's first emperor lived in Beijing's Forbidden City. Emperor Qin actually lived in Xi'an in the 3rd century B.C. And finally, a flood of emails arrived regarding my interview with Mark Mappin, who is co-editor of the Encyclopedia of New Jersey. Dr. Mappin said New Jersey does not have a state song. Well, a number of you dispute that. And listener Molly Radcliffe Essex of Lincoln, Nebraska, grew up in New Jersey, and she remembers her fourth grade teacher in 1947 taught her a song so state song-esque, she just assumed it was the state song, and she agreed to sing it for us.
New Jersey, New Jersey, homeland of the violet. Proudly we hail our garden state, coastline and mountains grand and great. Sing praises far and wide, fill your heart with pride. Tell her fame in song and story, give a toast to Jersey's glory, New Jersey, famous garden state.
Listener Molly Radcliffe Essex, late of New Jersey, now of Lincoln, Nebraska, singing what she recalls as New Jersey's state song. Email your letters to us at atc@npr.org. You don't have to sing, but please be sure to tell us where you're from and how you pronounce your name.